I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the new, the improved Rigid Roosters podcast. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Cody. I am a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude. No, I'm just one dude. But
we're all dudes. He's a dude. She's a dude. We're all dudes.
So I am Cody. I am music lover, football lover, nature lover, and many say Mr. Lover. So there you go. I am sitting here with my absolutely beautiful co-host. You've heard her before, and now you're only going to tune into this podcast to listen to her. Baby, tell them about yourself.
Hi, it's me. It's Heather. I am the wife of said hottie from across the way. I told him we were doing brief intros, and now I'm embarrassed to talk because he's looking straight at me, and I have ADHD, and it frightens me when people look at me directly like this, but so now I'm trying to find a corner and still talk so he doesn't beat me with a stick because so I am not talking right.
We're talking, we're yelling.
See? Now I'm talking too loud. Okay. So, AOL chat room. I am 35. I go by she, her. Was that all?
Yep, sounds
girl?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And my location is in Oklahoma or Norman area.
Very good.
Okay.
Basic, I like it.
Brief. There you go.
So now you know about us. You go ahead and write us a letter explaining who you are. if you're a good-looking woman, please do me a favor and send naked pics.
Those will be for me, don't worry.
Yeah, more than likely.
Yeah.
All right, well, baby, we've told them about us as individuals. Let's tell them about ourselves. One question that you will hear a lot in the lifestyle, because as you know, this is a lifestyle education podcast.
Yes, right? Sir.
So let's go ahead and explain to them a little bit about what dynamic is. You will hear a lot of people say, what's your dynamic? And that helps you explain who you and your partner are. Within terms of the lifestyle, right? Like, what are we looking for? And who do we like to look for that with? You know what I mean? So explain our dynamic.
You want, as in me and you, or do you want me to do me like as a separately?
No, us as a couple.
Us as a couple. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So our dynamic, it was recently, that Cody was just swinger or just ethnically non-monogamous, where mine was poly, so I had a partner. Now we're both in the same boat. I'm kind of unlabeled at the moment, but still leaning towards more the lines of just being ethically non-monogamous and enjoying life.
That's also another term for swingers.
Yes. Yeah. A nicer term, I think.
It is. It's just a way more of a mouthful.
Well, we all like mouthfuls.
And while it is a nicer term, I get a lot of questions over what does ethically non-monogamous mean.
Well, I think that's different for everybody, right?
My Tinder, I'm almost positive that's the pickup line for women around Norman specifically. What is ethically non-monogamous? And then I have to break it down as, well, we're swingers.
Oh, mine are like E&M? Hell yeah, brother.
It's because guys do a lot more research on that stuff.
or I'm just pretty and down to.
Well, all I'm saying is they know what it means because guys do a lot more digging into how many women they can sleep with. You know what I mean? And if I see a married woman and she says E&M, I'm going to be like, okay, what is that? Especially if she's hot, then I'm going to break out the computer or the phone or whatever. I'm going to type in E&M, figure out what it means, and then learn that, hey, this is a way that I can sleep with hot married chicks.
Or not. Remember, this was like a total sidestep here, but we just had a recent Tinder friend that that I had matched with, and he had no idea what being ethically non-monogamous was. He really had only seen the movie Swingers, so it was very stereotyped for him. We talked about it it was like a whole day, just questions. And he was like, you know what? I don't think this is for me. I still think you're very attractive. Best of luck. And we unmatched. But I just thought it was really cool that there are people out there that can have those conversations. They're not all tools that are just like, I mean, here's my wiener just because.
This will totally work as a pickup line. Wiener.
Yeah.
That doesn't work. Ever.
Ever.
So.
No, I don't know. I mean, there's somebody that it might work for. Yeah. I guess we can't, you know, yuck anybody's yum.
So going back to dynamic. Oh, she said we're both ethically non-monogamous or swingers. Now, inside of that, there's another dynamic, right? The questions you'll get asked is it, let's see, full swap or soft swap?
Yeah, and like break that down.
So full swap means that you will do a full couple swap, that you are comfortable swapping partners.
Isn't
basically
that same room?
We're about to get to that. Oh. So, but full swap is you're ready to go all the way. Yeah, let's have some fun. Soft swap is going to be one or more partners won't partake, or they will have to be involved with whatever's going on directly. You know what I mean? It's no like couple swapping, and then both or all four individuals having a new partner, right? It's a lot of times a couple will want one other person to come in, and then both the couple will be directly involved. And that is another form of soft swap, but it does get a little bit into harder because I don't know, you're at that point willing to, penetrate, for lack of a better word.
You're killing me, bro. Harder, penetrate. I mean, you're telling me not to giggle, and you're giving me all the ammo.
You can giggle at stuff like that. That's totally fine. But yeah, so full swap or soft swap, you'll be asked. And then same room or separate room, right? And that could mean either you are playing in the same room, which is pretty self-explanatory, but separate room can equate to maybe just different rooms in the same building, maybe different buildings altogether, maybe different states.
Yeah, I've heard it even. We've got a friend that they're same house. Mm-hmm. It's not same room, but they need to be under the same roof. That's a real big rule for them. So
right.
It even expands to that.
Basically, at that point is, does the couple play together or do they play completely separately? Mm-hmm. And that's what you're being asked a lot of the times. So as for us, we are same room, separate room, full swap, soft swap. So we are a combination of everything, and basically put, we're down for anything. You know, I was gonna say it meant we were, you know, an enigma wrapped up in a mystery, but no, we're really into everything.
Oh. I mean, what he said.
if you have something, we're down for it.
Yeah.
Simply put.
Yeah.
So that's dynamic.
At least once.
Now, another dynamic that you'll hear in it, this one's a lot kind of based on kink. We do have I have a major hot wife kink. And Heather digs into voyeurism a little bit more than she knows. But it's like kind of the reverse.
I don't think so.
Basically put, you like watching me the same way that I like watching you. Maybe not to the same degree, but definitely the same way.
I love a woman going down on you.
Yeah.
And like, even if I'm not involved, just being in the room, like across the room and your eyes, like you still connect with whoever the person is. You're still giving them that intimate, but like there are still the times that you look up at me and the times that, because I know you, you've been mine for 13 years. The moment that I know you're close and you just happen to like pop up and look at me, oh my gosh, the taco tingles, the wet, the everything that comes from it, that I like.
Yeah.
But.
So you enjoy that. I enjoy going a lot further. You know, I want to watch you get railed and, you know, even if I just get a video of it, it's fine. So we have a, I have a hot wife kink, like I mentioned, and that is to say that I, as the husband, love to watch my wife, have sex with other people. Now that's another part of your dynamic. Like, what certain kinks are you into? There's a very specific term that Heather and I share. She is the vixen. I am the stag. Basically what that means is I like watching, I like hearing about it, things like that, but I do not like the humiliation aspect of it. And there is another set of that where the husband does enjoy the humiliation of it. The loss of power is basically what it boils down to. And that is the hot wife and cuckold kind of kink or dynamic. It's really important not to confuse the two, right? Because the two are, while they do share similarities, being in the husband enjoying watching his wife with someone else, the mindsets of these people are completely different. They couldn't be more different. So a stag, which is what we are, stag and vixen, as I mentioned, just enjoys watching, right? It's not that he wants to feel a loss of power. It's not that he wants to give up any of that control. Moreover, what it is he enjoys watching his wife as a porn star, basically. You know, she is my porn star, and I love watching her in action. That's what that boils down to.
Or, I mean, when you orgasm, I know it's not like the best face, but that's like the most relaxed, the most open, the most vulnerable state.
I enjoy seeing you have a good time.
Yes.
I enjoy like seeing that you release get to experience or whatever. That. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, on the reverse of that, the cuckold, for him, it's going to be more about the act of his wife being with someone. And a specific thing here, being with someone superior, right? There's very much a total giveaway of power, a total giveaway of dominance, everything like that in this scenario. And there's nothing wrong with it at all. If that's what you're into, then fantastic. You know, I hope that you get it as much as you possibly can. But the two, like I said, are totally separate, and it's important not to confuse the two. The reason I bring all this up is I see, especially in this bullshit election season, I see a lot of people using the term cuck to try to insult somebody. Now, Heather said it earlier, and I'm going to say it again. We don't yuck anybody's yum around here. You know, it's fucking 2024. Why are we kink shaming still? So it's never an insult, but two, it doesn't ever mean what these people think that it means. And that frustrates me. So I hope that my...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Kind of definition breakdown was at least educational to somebody. We'll see, though. Heather is over here writing notes just as I'm running out of things to say. I don't know what it says, but it looks pretty funny. So yeah, that's
I was letting you talk and not being rude.
Well, I ran out of things to say. But that's a breakdown of our dynamic, and you know, pretty much as deep as you can get into it. So dynamic and hot wife kink. Remember those. There will be a test next week. I'm looking directly at you.
Oh.
All right. Well, baby, I think what we've got next is a little bit of you stealing the show. Am I right?
Yes. So, and guys, buckle up. It's going to be a long one, but we discussed this beforehand and how we wanted to break down everything that's gone on recently in our lives. And while it has been big and awesome and amazing and low and awful and heartbreaking, we don't want the podcast to be all about that or all about any one person. We want to share our experience being a polyamorous couple in the Bible Belt, coming at you live from a first time ever kitchen tabletop polyamory kind of dynamic, where while Cody and the other person lived together, they were never ever romantically involved.
Right.
Whereas I was romantically involved with both.
So before we dive too deep into this, I do want to let the audience know, my beautiful wife,
disclaimer,
she very much has ADHD. So, and we talked about this beforehand. We want to educate you guys. We want you to know what's going on and kind of give you a peek behind the curtain, if you will, into our lives. We also wanted to keep things on track, and we want to, even though we have so many stories and so many examples and things that we could give, we want to stay on that one center track of this is
a learning experience.
Well, this is what happened. Mm-hmm. This is what we gained from it. This is how we're moving forward. We want to kind of stay on that track. So there will be times where you might hear me kind of interrupt Heather. You might hear a pause as I wave my hand and it catches her attention and, you know, she refocuses for a second. But you will hear those, and all that is just we're trying to stay on this same track.
I requested it. We will dive into several other topics and then wind up in Africa and then talk about the white rabbits in Ireland that have no toes.
See, the ADHD train of thought is, a lot of people think one track, right? You might have two or three tracks and they all eventually converge, right? So the ADHD train of thought is 74 tracks all operating at the exact same time in three different directions. And there's about 847 turns in there, and they all tie themselves in a knot, and then boom, out pops that central track. So
because there's only one driver.
We want to try to avoid those turns. We want to try to keep the track as straight as we can. That way we don't lose anybody. You know, we want everybody to hear our experience and gain from it. And I think diving into all these different stories might be a barrier to that.
Correct.
Yeah.
I definitely want to use this as a tool, just as a voice for what we are. I mean, we bring a unique voice. You as the best friend, the brother that was jilted, if you will. Me, I know you don't like the spouse way of thinking about it, but because he lived with us and the kids and the family and how intertwined we were, it was like a giant divorce for me, or what I imagine a divorce would feel like, moving him out of the house and all of that. So just we have that unique advantage, and I want to be able to share it with people so that they know that it does happen, but life goes on.
Well, I mentioned this probably two episodes ago, we want to be real with you, and if we're only giving you the shiny and happy and the bullshit everybody can do this mentality, then, you know, we're not being real with you. So we want to give you a look at the not so good as well as the good of being in the lifestyle or being involved in a dynamic like this. We want you to know that it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and that's the real world that we live in. So without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to my beautiful co-host and let her kind of dive into it a little bit.
And again, I have to ask you to kind of remind me where I'm at, but also don't let me just, like, I feel on the spot now. So lead me into where we're going here.
Let's dive into your childhood trauma.
We can't make it that long. There's not enough time.
So let's start with how did we even wind up in that situation in the first place?
Okay. So reel back all the way. We're about going 5 years now. We had friends in the lifestyle. Completely took us by surprise. We were out for a birthday one night, and she said, "Hey, I'm wingmanning for my husband, and just go with it." And because the kind of guru that we are, we don't kiss and tell. We just rolled with it and expected answers later. And then we got them, and they explained that they were swingers. And then me and Cody were appalled. We were just not appalled, but aghast.
Not necessarily appalled, but like, just we didn't see how you could make that work.
Yeah,
you
know? We couldn't imagine sharing like the love or whatever behind it. But there's just so much, there's so much more behind it that you can get from it.
Right.
Was that a nod for me to go? Was I getting off track? Or were you burping?
No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, okay.
She asked me a yes or no question. I was nodding my head yes.
No, it was like
I told you, I waved my hand
over. It was like a halfway nod, so I was like, crap, now I forgot what I was saying, because I don't, what were we talking about?
So we were originally kind of, not necessarily aghast, it's just, how do you make that happen? Yeah. How in the world, how did we go from there to where we are now?
I know, right?
Yeah.
I can still remember calling you, coming home from that friend, I mean, from that night. Why do you keep moving your head backwards?
I'm agreeing with you.
You're stressing me out. Okay, I'm going to have to look in the corner above you or something.
Okay, so note to self, do not make eye contact with the host.
You get very, recording. You have like a whole bunch of face ticks. So I'm like, should I not say this? Am I saying too much?
It's every time she's looking at me and she asks me a yes or no question, or I'm nodding my head in agreement. So I'm just going to sit with my head completely still. If you see my arm flash way up here, that's your signal.
I know,
okay.
But now I'm going to be like, are you even listening?
You never listen to me.
Okay. So it was a friend. I remember calling you from the night of to tell you all about it. And I remember us being, again, not aghast, just completely wowed by it. I had my eyes closed and bumped the mic, if there's a bump in there, just so we're all clear. We couldn't believe it. And how long after that did we, I mean, it was like a year or so, wasn't it?
I want to say it was like 2 years.
Yeah. What was our first, like, what was us finally?
I remember being on the cruise, but not much else.
We didn't do anything on a cruise, though.
Did we not?
Mm-mm.
Because I remember being on the cruise, and we discussed it, and then on the way home, this is the big part that I remember. On the way home, we were stopped at Bucky's, and we hadn't really addressed it, and I looked at her, and I said, are we swingers now? And her response was, yeah, then okay, hell yeah.
See, I don't remember it that way, but I can't tell you I remember anything. So, yeah. I guess because you have some recollection, that's the story we'll go with. I don't remember, but because this last cruise is the first cruise I ever did anything with anybody else different. So,
yeah.
That's why I don't think it was a cruise that.
No, I remember it was coming home from the cruise ship. We were stopped at that Bucky's, the one on the north side of Dallas. And I asked you, does this mean we're swingers now? And you looked at me for a second and you go, yeah.
Okay. All right. Get us back on track where we were at.
That was where we were at. We're still there. We are on the tracks.
Oh my God. So, this never stays this long.
So how did we go from there to a polyamorous relationship? Because whenever you decide to jump into the lifestyle, it's not an immediate both feet first, like I'm gonna have a whole separate relationship.
Yeah, it's definitely something. It takes lots of learning or research if you want to be serious about it.
It takes evolving is what it takes. And when we started out, we had some ground rules, right? We had rules, and we still do. We have things that we agree on, that this is how we're going to handle things. But at the time, it was zero feelings for the other person. If feelings develop, you back out right there, shut it down, and call it a day. Mm-hmm. That at the time. And then
I struggled with it.
Yeah. And we kind of discovered that Miss Lady here needs a little bit more of a connection with a person.
So we've learned more about being demisexual and started learning about the umbrellas of what all of that is, because that's everything in the lifestyle is just layers and layers and layers, like
it is
Shrek and an onion, you know.
But it doesn't smell like an onion.
Or what does Donkey say? Everybody likes waffles. Parfait.
Or parfait, yeah. Everybody loves parfait. But yeah, there are lots of layers to it. But you learn where your boundaries are as you go. And, you know, one of the big things for us is we change those boundaries. And I think that is healthy, and it's something that you should do often. You should re-examine.
That we communicate and are open to doing that. That's the thing. We have to be, we don't have any hard no's. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
until, like, I mean, I guess until we have a hard no.
Yeah.
But.
And then when it happens, you say, hey, maybe let's not do that again. You know, but being able to have those ground rules and communicate them at the start, but then be willing to go from there to, I'm okay with this. Okay, well, I'm okay with this. Well, now, you know, let's communicate this differently. Instead of I'm okay with blank, let's talk about, hey, I'm good for whatever, and then you just, we'll just let each other know if things are bad, right? So you're going to go on this spectrum, possibly from one end to the other like we did, or possibly, you know, you might go back and forth, things like that.
And you have to be, you have to have a willing partner to go back and forth, because, you know, you could jump. I mean, we've had friends that tried it that were super excited because of the first friend and then us doing it. And then, you know, it following suit a little bit more in our friend groups. But we've had some friends that it was just a hard no right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I think it's because they went to such an extreme so quickly.
Yeah.
That they're missing out on lots of fun because we know who they are individually. We know how sexually they are, like sexually innate, and how just they are personally as individuals. Like, I know they would flourish in the lifestyle, but because what happened.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Happened
it's because you come on so strong, and we'll get to that point again here in a little while, but because you come on so strong with an idea of we're going to go to this extreme with it, then it becomes a immediate hard no, and those are hard to break once they're there, you know. But, you know, going back to what I was saying is it's healthy to be able to evolve and change your viewpoints on things as you grow and as you learn. So anyways, we went back and we discussed our boundaries a little bit. Once we found out that she has to have a little bit more of that communication, and I think what we landed on was
connection.
Yeah. Sorry. But once we figured out that, she needed a little bit more of that connection, what we landed on was, polyamory, which means
friends with benefits. At first it was just friends with benefits. I think that's how we led into boyfriend number one, actually, was saying that I needed to be friends first, so it could be friends and then the benefits would come.
Yeah.
But from that, we figured out that was a crash and burn. It's, you know what it did. And learning and evolving from that, it was like, okay, I think I need a step further into it, more than just friends. I need the connection of like a romantic partner.
Yeah.
That's how we got to. So, I mean, I think there were like little mini steps in there. For me, at least, that's what it feels like.
But I mean, we discussed and we eventually landed on polyamory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how we're going to do it. So, why don't you explain a little bit about how this whole relationship came to be, the most recent one?
Uno momento, please.
She's chewing.
It makes it sound like I'm chewing tobacco.
She is. She's got a huge plug of Levi Garrett right now.
I don't even know what that means.
I'm ready to watch her spit here in a second.
You're so gross. Okay. Everyone knows I swallow.
You don't want to swallow that.
You said, tell them.
Tell them a little bit about, we've discussed how we were willing to change our ground rules. So start at the beginning. Tell them.
Oh, that's my question, the most recent one. But
yeah.
Do I say anything about the first? This is where it gets hard for the brain of being a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, there's parts and levels and stuff. So we don't need to talk about
the first one.
Okay.
Let's go to the most recent one and let's talk the beginning of that one.
Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
The reason, so I met the first one on Bumble, that crashed and burned, but actually blossom in a beautiful new way because his wife is somebody I consider like a soul sister now. So that's funny and weird and life is crazy. But that happened and burned bright and just ended horribly. But it got me into the mindset of, you know, definitely my sorority girl, sorority girl.
Ladies and gentlemen, my co-host grew.
Of, you know, like the best way to get over somebody is to get under someone. So I got back on Bumble because I still needed some kind of camaraderie, some kind of connection. And lo and behold, I found somebody that looked actually really similar to the person I was upset with and trying to get over. And I have a big thing for smiles, and there was a big bright one. And I am totally into dad jokes and corny jokes and jokes of all kinds. And his Bumble profile hit all those notches. He was in the city. Something I wouldn't have to see all the time because I don't go to the city often enough that I would have to worry about anything. So, you know, one and done. Heather doesn't do one and dones, I guess. So that's how it's
in the complete
started.
Opposite way.
It went that, you know, that one burned brighter, quicker, and faster. And that's where this gets really emotional and stupid, everybody, is because when I get emotional and sad, and I will, and it's going to annoy me, and I'm going to call myself stupid or call it stupid, and Cody's going to say, babe, quit saying it's stupid, you're not stupid. But
I will say that.
I am not mourning the person I have found to be, the real person. You know what I'm saying? I am not grieving the loss of that person. I can say I'm angry at that person because nobody likes being lied to or played in any way. But throwing in kids, anywho, okay. But the person that you hear me cry or mourn is this amazing, perfect character that he had formed. Actually modeled after my husband to a point. I mean, to a degree that it did not set any red bells, red alarms,
red flags. There we go.
Red flags or alarms in either one of our head when the love bombing started, because Cody fell in love with me really fast and told me he loved me really fast and didn't freak out when I didn't say it back and didn't say it back for a few months. And then, you know, like, it was all happening almost just the same, and it was different, but it was the same. And it was, I don't know. He had crafted a very good character.
So obviously though, without getting too far into any of that, obviously it was good to start.
Yes. Right? Happy. And I mean, as we mentioned, we moved in together. I just skipped a bunch of parts, but are we good to starting right there?
I mean, yeah, we can get to that. So a big assumption that a lot of people have is that, you know, he was just a boyfriend or, you know, just anything. And, what a lot of people don't know is that he was actually living with us.
Yeah.
For about a year, somewhere around there.
Than that. It was like a year and a half.
Yeah. So he was actually living with us.
The timeline, this is like, I guess for anybody that's not involved in this, they're going to be like, oh, obvious red signs. Hello. But we started dating in August. In October, he picked up and left everything and everyone in Oklahoma City and moved out to be near me in a trailer about 10 minutes away. And he lived there for a couple months before it was Cody saying, this is so stupid. Why are we paying money for him to have crap over there when he's here all the time? And that was by October of like the following year, he moved in. So from that October like 23.
Yeah.
Yeah. He had moved in, but he had been there pretty much since he came all the way in October of 20.
Yeah. So, but yeah, he was living with us, and let's talk about now. Anyways, he was living with us. It was good. Things were great until they weren't. Right. So
as the story goes,
we can dive in a little bit to, I'll tell my side of this right now. During the 2 years up to when it turned bad, there weren't really obvious red flags with me either. You know, nothing was just jumping out and saying, hey, this is fucking dumb. Right. But, there were some things that happened that Heather and I didn't discuss. Just because, from my point of view, as long as she was happy, we were good. One of the things was there was a constant communication on the back end about a lot of bad feelings, a lot of sadness, a lot of depression, all of this stuff that never got shown to Heather. And I didn't feel it was my place to bring them up to, you know, talk about any of that. I didn't really feel like that was my place to do so.
Well, explain your bro code thing.
I mean, yeah, we had an agreement between the two of us that if we said those words bro code, then it would stay between us. And a lot of that stuff was on that agreement, you know, so it's not something I'm going to bring up to Heather. So while she had this view of this perfect throuple, things weren't as good as what she thought they were. I say that to say this. In my mind, that didn't matter. As long as she was happy and she was good, I could deal with the rest of that shit and not worry about it. So that kind of explains a little bit of my stance or my position in there. You know, feelings, like I said, things were great, things were awesome, but there were several times in there where throughout the day, things weren't awesome. Things were not good.
Yeah.
And
but not to my knowledge.
Right. And you know, I never shared those things with her. Mm-hmm. So, but okay. So we're up to now where things weren't good. Right. They were good until they weren't. So why don't you explain, without going into detail, explain kind of what happened.
Well, okay. You mentioned it, your last episode or your episode, letting everybody know we were coming back, that we were keeping the roosters alive, that there had been some emails sent to him that were not nice.
And we discussed those. All of the previous podcasts are going to be gone. You know, I'm going to release this as soon as we get done recording it. But within the next 24 hours, all of those old episodes will be gone. But if you want to listen to the episode we're talking about, I think it's like 3 or 4 before the end when we were getting ready to go to, Sooner Swing. That episode is there. If you want to catch it within the next 24 hours and hear, you know, some more of how I was feeling, I was ready to fight somebody, you know, but hear kind of what happened, what went down and how I felt about it. You can go back and listen to that episode real quick. But
might be an episode you keep up for a little while with this episode.
Yeah, if I can find it, I'll leave that one up. But let's go back to you said there were some emails. They were not nice emails. They were pretty shitty.
Yeah, they were really mean. They were coming after him and his appearance. And I didn't even, and I forgot until the end that they were coming after me too, but my heart was so sad at the thought that I had talked to somebody that was being this cruel to somebody I loved.
Yeah. I mean, we changed a lot of our relationships and the way we talk to a lot of people.
Yeah. Over that. And because of who we thought they were and it being a bigger, well-known couple. I mean, like, that affected, I think, some of our events, because I feel like we've not been invited to some, not like maybe not on purpose, but I feel like it was hot, hot, hot for a while.
Yeah.
And then this happened. And
yeah. And it's because of that.
Because of that. Yeah.
But so what about those emails? Because they're involved in how things went bad.
So, you know, just rewinding back to say they were not nice about him. Okay. that happens. Cody makes a podcast about it. That's the one he's referencing when he what he was just talking about. He's going to try finding and leaving up for you. Basically calling this person out. Well, then a second email came in, and it was not calling, but it was clapping back, I guess, saying like, I'm going to sit behind my keyboard and blah, 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 blah. And then is that the one where I got called fat? So is that where it turned mean against me?
I can't remember.
But it turned mean against me at that point. And, you know, the boys just got all pissed off about it and stuff. And we're mad. I mean, both of them. But that's the wildest thing. The anger. My husband obviously had it for good reasons, because this is happening to somebody he considers a brother and his wife. And then, you know, this guy who's supposed to be in love with me and, you know, all these things, and that say there he it's being said about me too. Get me back on track.
What about those emails?
Oh, ba-da-dum. He wrote them. He did it himself. We cut people out. We stopped talking. We went to an event, our very first really big event that we were so psyched to go to, was tainted because he had played it so perfectly to be this couple.
Yeah, so we found out that he wrote those emails to himself. And that kind of lie is not something that I can come back from.
Not even that. When we finally confronted him, what did he say at first?
And I've already addressed that, but he said that it was to make content for the podcast. And I addressed this on the episode I put out the other day, and I'll say it again. I am, if there's one thing that I want to be with you guys, it's real and honest. And if I am inventing shit to create content for a podcast, I'm not being honest, and you will never get that from me. So to find out that I had done that, that the lie was told to both of us, that it was just this big thing that changed our lives a lot.
Side note, or let me, the lie, how that was found was, all of us have each other's passcodes and could get into each other's phones at any point in time, whether it be because we're insecure about something or because we need to call somebody and one person has that phone number and the other person didn't, whatever it is, that's the kind of relationship the three of us had together. We thought. So there was some time, there had been an issue creep up. Some boundaries had gotten crossed that he had to have pulled back some from, which we, anywho, I know, everybody's shaking their head. Everybody, I say that, as my husband and one of my best friends are here, but it's also the whole viewing, audience in my brain.
In your head, yeah.
The theater I'm speaking to right now. Yeah. Or the sitcom where you look to the side, like
nope.
The Office.
No side looks. Straight at the audience in front of you.
Okay, give you back. Where was that? Big event? I know. You got to go. You got to help here.
Okay, so basically that.
Oh, there had been an incident. I was feeling insecure. I called him out on something. I said, I want to see your phone. He handed it right over. So immediately there was already relief. Because of the willingness to hand it over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, like, I looked in obvious areas, and there was nothing untoward, nothing bad, nothing. And I was, like, just about to be like, okay, you need to talk to him about this. This is, like, bigger than your, it's bigger than I've even told him it is or whatever, or than I've addressed in my brain. And right as I'm doing that and I'm going through the tabs to like swipe out at them, because both of those boys are the worst at having all of them open, and I stopped on one and it made me think, I guess there is a messenger app on this. So I clicked on it, went to his OnlyFans, and you know when you click on the username and how like if there's more than one option on it, a pop-up comes up. Lo and behold, there was a weird option, and so I clicked it, and it was the username of the emails that had been sent that were super mean about Chris and myself.
So what did you find when you logged in to that username?
The emails themselves.
So you're telling me that he had both of those accounts?
You're telling me.
He had both of those accounts saved as logins. That means that he owned both accounts.
Which, that is correct, sir.
Which means that those emails that were so terrible about all three of us were written by him.
By the man himself. Mm-hmm. Yes, Your Honor.
So, because of that, there was no more trust between the two of us at all.
Because that's when it broke for me. Cody hadn't even been and had told at that point. I sat on that information by myself for 2 days because I knew in the bottom of my soul that once I told Cody, he was going to do the thing we told each other we would never do and veto somebody out. And I had no idea how I was going to veto out this man that has shared childs with, you know, she has shared a child with us for 2 years and all of these things. So I know that's probably its own episode to discuss in, about being in that position and what to do, but it was 2 days that I had held on to it without saying anything to Cody. Then there was an event that happened with the situation that had made me insecure to start. Come through. Texts were exchanged. Got different views. So it sounded like we were both being played, given two different stories. Our dynamic, mine and Chris's, and you can ask Cody. I mean, I wish we could like have a cut. We're not going to spend the time on it, y'all, but like a cut of how many times he said, no, my dynamic is like Cody's. It's just you and we swing, like that's it. Even us asking him multiple times throughout the years that we were together, do we need to rediscuss this? Do we need to readdress this? Has things changed? You know, no, that's not it. It's not going to be this. Okay. So the boundary had been crossed. It had supposedly ended. The text came through the day of, after being sitting on that knowledge for 2 days. And my best friend just happened to be over and I called her, or she had said, I'm going to take all the kids and we're going to go get snow cones and give you some alone time. And I was like, okay, great. And so I had texted him and said, please come home as soon as you get off work today. I have something that we need to talk about, which, you know, nobody wants to get.
No,
nobody ever, especially with spicy brains. And of the three of us, his is probably the spiciest. So, you know, like I can understand because he got home, I mean, the quickest I've ever saw it. And I just kind of read him messages that had been sent throughout the afternoon that revealed a whole different side to it not being a friends with benefits kind of thing with her, it being a relationship, it being evolving into something more, and him making it, him guiding it that way. Whereas telling us, no, that's not it. She's on the roster kind of thing, if you will, if you can get that mindset, because that's the only mindset I can think of to do right now. So anyways, I had told him this. Do you know that this has happened now? Do you know that this has happened now? Do you know because of you, because of this big bad lie, this has happened? And just kind of making him, well, not kind of, I mean, obviously, I'm pissed, I'm angry, and I'm making him aware that he has hurt a sister of the lifestyle with his actions by doing this, all to find out that I was likely being duped the entire time. Okay. Okay.
So you read him the text messages.
Read him text messages. Oh, and I read that, and he's just sitting there, you know, dog between his tail. No, tail between
tail between his legs.
Yes, like yes, that's what I mean. Sorry.
It'd be hard to fit a dog in your tail. That'd hurt.
Oh, sorry, I bounced that with my fingers that time. Just very, you know, very Eeyore, if you will, and just accepting everything that I'm saying. Just sorry about it. And he knows it's happened, and he's trying to make it better with me to make it right. And then I say, okay, you know, this is the time. Lay everything out. No more lies. There is nothing else you have to say to me that you've lied about to confess. And I mean, he sat and he thought, which I guess should have also rung a bell, but you know, and he was like, that's not it. And I said, you know, I was like, nothing. And then I said the email, the username. Can I say the username or no?
No.
Okay. I said the username of which it was. And he looked at me very confused. And he said, huh? And so then one of those super heartbreaking, like rom-com moments where your heart explodes and like falls out of your butt kind of feeling, I scream cried the username at him. And he was like, I already told you. They emailed me this. They did this. This is how I figured it out. Blah, 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 blah. And then I said, like, the full email address and said, like, I know. I saw them or whatever. And the fact that he had his first instinct was to lie to cover it up instead of coming clean right then when that's all that had been asked. Mm-hmm. Where at this point, again, not fair to Cody. I know now Cody was still unaware of. He had it. He had his chance. He lied. Mm. So for me, the foundation, not only of being my partner, it's not just my boyfriend or my partner. He was right up there with Cody. I know it's hard to be not hierarchical when you're married and not and stuff, but I just don't believe in levels of love. It's just all, oh no!
That was probably pretty loud.
I talk with my hands and I booped my microphone.
You booped it hard that time.
Whoops. So anyways, I don't know how to explain it. And I know there's always questions. People ask how that ranks. And I don't know how to answer it any other way than that. For me, it's not like 1, 2, 3. It's just this giant freaking heart that houses a whole lot of people. And they're just there. So it belongs to all of them because... I don't know. I belong to all of them.
Okay, so you'd
he's like, Heather, you're getting high.
You had told him that you knew. You confronted him with it.
He lied. He broke. I mean, everything was done. Yeah. It was gone. For me, I mean, there happened? Was just a big lie. So that's when I called you. Mm-hmm. And this is where the angry part comes in. But like not in a way that you're going to shake your head all mean at me again. but in a way that when I called... I said, you know, I told him, I said, does Cody know? And he was like, what? And I was like, you call Cody right now. And he was like, no. He was like, this is something. This is something you have to do face to face. This isn't something. And I was like, if Cody had a normal job where he was coming home tonight, I would give you that. That's not the case because he had literally left the day before.
Mm-hmm.
And... he just, I mean, he's just... While
this is going on, I'm just in the gym, just throwing weight around, happy as I can be, having a great workout, and...
and my whole entire everything is just crumbling to... Not everything, but for what we had built, the three of us. And,
Well, then I get a phone call.
Yeah, so then Cody gets the phone call, and that was... I'm not kidding, it was minutes, and... Because it was me holding my phone and like finger to the button to dial his phone number because he was like, I don't want to do it. Maybe I'll do it later. And I was like, and finally he was like, okay. So he called him and Cody answers. He does just all jolly. And like, hey, I'm in the gym working out, you know, all workout bro.
I said it just like that, too. I'm in the gym working
out. See, it sounds just the same.
Yeah.
He said something, and I was like, I mean, because he, I hope I caught it. I tried. If I have to edit that out, I'm really sorry, but you better look at the time.
That's fine.
But he said it. The other person said it, but quietly, you know. And so Cody was, I had to make sure I could say your name. So Cody was like, sorry, I got to readjust. My butt's going to sleep. But see, I have to sit like this so I can talk the right way. Don't look at me all weird.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I caught it. I caught it. Hopefully that doesn't. I pooped it again.
It just sounded like you said you pooped it again.
Anywho, you toddler. No, I'm just kidding. he mumbled it quietly. So Cody says, you hear him putting his weights down. And he's like, tell me again. And so the other person says it again, but still not loudly. And at this point, I'm like, put it on speakerphone because he's not saying it. And I mean, it is. I know I'm probably like mommy dearest wire hanger. Mm. Put it on the speakerphone. I mean, that I know I was crazed. I was. But he finally did. And he said it again. And I think it was like the third time that he was trying to mumble it. I like screeched it so Cody could hear me. And then, like, you know, there are those movie moments where in your life, or maybe not everybody's life because I'm goofy, but where you, like, it would be like where the pin would drop and nothing was heard. Like, it was like we were spooky, like eerily quiet. Yeah. Everything, like the static in the house, the everything stopped, y'all. And Cody exploded and then had to get off the phone and then ended up messing up his shoulder.
I heard it pretty bad.
That long of the short of it. But yeah. That other part. So that was it. That's where the cookie crumbled for everything. Like, I mean, that foundation of trust between him and I romantically was gone. And then it was gone with Cody as far as the brotherhood he thought that they shared.
Mm.
Okay. Well, then fast forward because I'm with everybody, you know, right? He wasn't let back in to the point that he was a boyfriend or held a label, but he was still somebody that the family called on.
Mm.
And the air conditioner going out in the middle of the summer while Cody is in North Dakota is... You know, the boy that wants to move right back into the home because he knows he messed up and wants to come back home is close for this reason. I'm calling him. Please come help me. Come help me do this. And it became, and that was, I mean, that was after like you were home for a little while.
It was after like 2 months.
I don't think it was that long, but it'd been
at least
a
month.
Yeah. At least a month, of where it had been no contact. Period. But then it started, you know, with those. And then to pay, it would be payback. Well, we're busy this night, but I'm going to cook tomorrow night. Why don't you come over tomorrow night, have dinner with us or whatever. And so he was being let back in, at least on a friend level, not by Cody at all. I, again, did not know this until after it was all done, but he was, grinning and bearing it as he explained earlier, if I was happy, he was happy kind of thing. Again, not to my knowledge until afterwards, Cody McCaskill. I needed a drink. Okay. So, I was getting let back at Lynn's... Those were words. Getting let back in. Friend-wise, my child had expressed to one of... his trusted adults that he was really struggling with Chris being out of the house, without having him around and just missing him.
Let's try not to say names.
I'm so sorry. I just heard it. That's my first one.
I don't know.
You're going to go back and edit it.
No,
right?
it's fine. I'm going to leave it in, but
oh.
One thing that we're not doing. We are giving you everything as it happened, right?
Yeah.
We are giving you the facts and the truth as it happened with us. So,
and it's our truths. Not, this is something.
Yeah, it's what we live through, our experience alone. But one thing we discussed before we started this is we don't want to turn this into a trash and bashing episode.
No,
you
we
know,
do not.
We want you guys to have the facts. We want you guys to hear what we have to say about it, what we feel about it, and then go from there. I just don't want to bring a lot of names because I don't feel that'd be good for anybody, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave that in there, mostly because I'm too lazy to go back and edit it out. But moving forward, we're going to try to keep
that's
names
my
out
one.
Of it.
Got it. Next time he hits me.
I'll find something real hard to throw at her.
Apologies. So that was even more of my guard being let back down so that that could be happened. So that could that my son would be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to keep us on track.
So during this time, there was a lot of things that were happening that they were kind of throwing up red flags for me. And like she said, it was, you know, as long as she was happy, I was happy. But there was one point where I had messaged her and I said, okay, I don't know if I'm entirely comfortable having him spend all of this time over here with you. And we talked about it. You know, I kind of let her know that I was feeling uncomfortable about it. And, you know,
based off things that I had told him that I needed the space and the distance from said person.
Yeah. So she went on and then it kept happening. And, you know, then where did things start to break for good?
I mean, it happened so fast. I mean, like,
it was within days. So,
y'all, golly.
You know, just being transparent and giving you every side of it. Heather had shared with me that there was a...
Oh, okay. Well, explain that. So, Cody and Chris... damn it.
She's trying hard.
The boys had finally made a point to sit down and talk.
No, before this. So, Heather had shared with me that there was a kiss that was exchanged.
Oh, yes.
And, you know... While we mentioned at the top of the podcast, it was, you know, we are open to anything. If you've got something, we're open to it. And while, you know, a kiss is normally not considered cheating, the reason it's not is because we talk about it first.
Correct.
You know,
in every way, in every form.
Yeah.
That happened.
When that happened, instantly in my mind, a line was drawn. And I had a lot of anger and a lot of built up shit from, just from the original breakup, you know, some hurt that I was still going through that I hadn't had a time to process. And, I kind of took it out on her, but you know, I drew the line of, he doesn't ever come over here again, things like that. I kind of lost my mind on it. And, I got, you know, a little bit belligerent with Heather and I apologize again about that, but you know, and, I say all that to say this is if you're going through some stuff, you have to address it, you know, and we have to address it right away. We can't just say, oh, I need a little bit more time while taking
don't
the time.
Fester.
Yeah. Taking the time you need to heal is great. But if you can't heal without talking through some of the shit that has been piled on you, you're not healing and you're not giving yourself time. You're just making it worse. So, that happened. Me and the other guy decided that we were going to talk things out. I sent him a message and said, hey, come to the house. We got some things to discuss. And he got over there, let him know how I felt about everything, let him know what I was dealing with. And
he took it all, yeah. Right? Like you should. Like you should.
Yeah, and he took it all, you know, and, you know.
No punches thrown.
No, and we when we parted ways, we clapped him on the back and said, I think I said something to the effect of, I love you, brother, or something like that.
And that we weren't letting the roosters die or something, because that was something said in a text message to you on the side, yeah.
But one of the things that we had discussed was zero contact moving forward. And at that point, I said...
Not zero contact at that point.
No, like physical.
Physical, yeah.
So
no intimate,
no intimacy.
Yeah.
And I had made it clear that, you know, nothing even as small as a kiss until she was ready for it. And what I meant by that was that her and I would discuss it and everything like
and
that.
And I but, like wholeheartedly agreed instantly.
Yeah. But going from the fact that a kiss caused us to have a pretty good fight. And, you know, and honestly, I mean, we don't like having these things, but we had a real good one. And
yeah, it was a doozy.
And, you know, that was over a kiss. That was the agreement on a Sunday. What had he said by the next Thursday?
Well, still, it was, by Thursday, it was still, I love you. So, is that, do you mean want to go past that?
What did he tell you I would be okay with?
Oh. Okay, no, that wasn't on that Thursday.
What day was it?
I think it was Wednesday.
Oh, okay. So, even worse. From a Sunday.
I think it was Wednesday evening.
Yeah, the days doesn't matter as much. But from Sunday
I can't remember,
to.
But he had come over to hang out.
Let's say that Wednesday. From Sunday to Wednesday. Sunday was no intimacy whatsoever.
And we, like, and both of us agreed.
Everybody agreed to it to Wednesday.
Or all
what,
three of us.
What did he say?
I can't remember how we got onto the topic of it, truthfully. I really can't.
Mm.
And I have sat and thought and thought and thought. I can't remember if it was about because I had a kink in my neck, if he was asking. I mean, I just can't remember how it even came up. But the direct quote was, I know, I thought it was so weird that when that Cody said we could have sex. And I was, I mean, I want everybody to know how animated I am. Like, think like a puppy that is confused. That is totally like, what happened? And I said, when? You know, when we were hugging and we clapped each other on the back and, you know, like we were talking in each other's ears. And I was like, yeah, that's when he said it. And I was like, oh, cool. I don't know if, you know, I was like, I don't know that I'm there yet or whatever. And he was like, oh no, that wasn't like pressure. I was just letting you know. And I was like, oh, okay. But it was that was my red flag. Like, okay, this, my bullshit meter is going off here. Mm-hmm. Something is, it was clearly asked like not to do anything, you know? So that happened. I think it was like a Wednesday night or something. Cause I, again, didn't know what to do with it. Why was it that I finally asked you?
It was after the final lie had been told. That was when
you called me. When he was on the way to Tulsa?
Yeah, you called me the next that next day.
Okay.
And told me about it.
Okay, so that was like Wednesday night or something.
Yeah.
And then we hung out Thursday. I have a video message. A very long one expressing because I had shared that I didn't want to like feel like I was leading him on because I didn't know where I was at as far as being in a romantic relationship again with him because the friendship foundation, even part of it was really broken in us. And, you know, and I was like, I just want to make sure that's understood and that we're clear and just be honest with me. And, you know, like just, you keep talking about being honest and being transparent. I was like, you know, like that's what we're doing. And so I had even asked him about a certain someone specifically. And it was, well, yeah, you know, this is happening, but not like that. I'm doing all the work. I'm doing the work to come home. I'm your home. I'm coming home to you.
Mm.
I want Cody back. I want those kids back. I want my family. I want this. You know, and
so then what happened?
Well, that was the one night. Okay. I mean, that's just so then Friday.
Yeah, it was Friday.
Yeah. So it was Friday. We had my car was in the shop and, he had gone to work out, but came to get me so that I could take him to work so that I could have the car to take the kids to school. And pick him and the kids up. And then, we were having a sleepover. And so then we would like end up at like Chuck E. Cheese. Cause we had like this monthly pass thing. So the plan was to hang out. Oh, because his daughter was coming, and that was it. We were having a sleepover, and his daughter was coming to spend the night with him. And so we had planned this whole thing out. But so he gets, I pick him up from work. We get the kids on the way to Chuck E. Cheese. I get a call that the car's ready, or that at least it's been diagnosed. Wait, was it ready or?
They just finished it and finished diagnosing it.
Yeah, they just finished diagnosing it or something. And so we were going, he dropped me off to go, he dropped me and the kids off to go get it. And I said, okay, so we're going to Chuck E. Cheese, you know, like reconfirming the plans because I'm just, that's the kind of person I am. Reconfirming plans. So we're going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. We're going to meet you over there. And he was like, yeah, I'm going to get a haircut, but I'll be there at Chuck E. Cheese. You know, like I'm totally going to beat you in basketball, you know, just like we always are, mm-hmm. you know? So we go and we play. There are six of us, so we have to divide 250 games between six, and we were ordering pizza. So we played games for about 20 minutes, put a pizza order in. That's probably what, another 20, mm-hmm. 30 minutes. I text him and said at the point that I was putting the pizza in, hey, we're getting hungry. We'll save you some pizza. But we're gonna go ahead and order it.
Yeah.
And he was like, yeah, I'm still waiting here. Still waiting to get my hair cut or something. And I mean, like, no, nothing's going off. No weird things. It's, I understand the place that we go. The place that we go to. There's a wait sometimes, you know. So, like, I'm not, there's no weird anything happening in my brain. But then we've eaten. And then we're all about down to like 10 more games left or whatever. And he finally texts and is like, oh my God, you're never going to believe what happened. Do you remember when my phone had to do that thing and I had to plug it back? And Cody told me I had to plug it back into my MacBook. I mean, like he even said, like, Cody told me, I remember when Cody said they had to plug it into my MacBook so that we could, like it would reset, factory reset it or whatever. Mm. I mean, like it was this whole thing. And I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, I can't believe that because his phone's a newer phone, you know? And still, no, I'm just bebopping along, not thinking anything's weird. I still, to this day, I'm just like, why are you the way that you are sometimes, Heather? Because there was like a, what, 2.5 hour span? That's not a haircut time. Nobody waits that long for a haircut. Like, Heather, what were you thinking? Like, you know? So anyways, we're finally like down to, and he had texted him, like, we're getting ready to leave. And he's like, oh my God, this happened. And I was like, well, we're going to go ahead and head out. But I'll text you on the way home so you know when you can head out to meet us at my home. The home he wants, remember?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I forgot to text him as we had loaded up because I had like a bundle, a whole bang load of kids. Didn't think about it until we were down our country road, turning onto it. And so I pick up his phone, or pick up the phone, and I had texted him that I'd call him when we got to the house or something, and he hadn't read it, which is, I know people are like, okay, that's whatever, but Chris paid attention. I mean, like, when, ah, oh, dang it! But he did. He paid attention. I mean, like, so I didn't get left on read hardly ever. And if I did, there, well, I mean, who knows? But I didn't get left on read a whole lot. So it was weird. So I called him, and I got straight into voicemail, but he's got an old car. Here's me making excuses again, probably. He has an old car, and so if he's, like, playing music on his phone, you know, that's, they has to use the cord, then he blah, blah, blah. And so I just call back and he answers after a couple of rings, but like, I can hear he's driving and there's a voice change and there's kind of like, almost like he's in trouble, you know, like it's just an immediate, all of a sudden, like all of my, the hairs on my back or my neck, on my back. Like, I'm a hairy person.
Oh. One thing I love about you, baby.
Oh, crap. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my big laugh. Okay. Like, start, you know, rising or whatever. And he had made big, big deals about keeping location, his location on, because he wanted to make sure that as Cody was out of town so often, that I could have access for emergencies if I needed it, and that he was not hiding anything should I want to check up on it. I mean, you know, like all these different things. And so it was like on the phone call that I put him on speakerphone because I'm at a stop sign. And I look and I can see that the location is off. And I was like, that's totally weird. What's happening? And I was like, I was just trying to call to figure out if you were going to beat us home or where you were at. And it's just the way he ends it. And I was he's like, well, just... bad brain day. I'm just driving. And I was like, okay, cool. Well, see ya later. You know? And he was like, yeah. Talk soon. He never ends at talk soon. Even after breaking up, it wasn't I love yous every time, but it would be a tabbouleh sometimes, or you know what I'm saying? Or it was always a tender goodbye. Mm-hmm. It was not a yeah. Talk soon. Okay, so then I've got all these kids, and then I call my best friend, and she comes over so I can have my own sleepover as well, you know. So they're doing their own thing. We're doing, like, we're doing taro spreads, and I mean, even some of those spreads. Man, now it just, like, all makes sense, and I just wants to punch myself in the face. But I don't know. Something made me remember that I hadn't looked at my phone because, well, it was the silence of the children. We were like, oh my God, we had gone through like two different spreads between the two of us, that the children had not came and said anything. And now granted, our kids are getting older, that doesn't happen as often, but if y'all know me and my kids love me. They're always around, which I love, and I'll hate when they're gone. But there are some times where I'm just like,
don't you have a job yet?
You have a dad. Go over there. But no, I really do love.
Most days.
Most of the time. Get me back on track. What was the last... Where were we at?
Shit.
Bing bong. Assist. She fails.
Okay, so... you went through your tarot decks. You picked up your phone.
Yeah. It was just because we had so much quiet time. And so I went and checked on the kids. They were, I mean, just doing their own thing. Rooms were a mess, but whatever. They were quiet and doing happy. And I went and realized I hadn't looked at my phone. So Cody being in North Dakota, that's something he hates that I do, is leave my phone and then lose it and then randomly find it a couple hours later. And he's like, I've been trying to text you, you know, the whole time. And anyways, so I find it, and the location was turned back on because there was no missed calls or texts from person, and I just thought that was very, very weird. But I went, clicked on it, and you could see, you know, like, it shows their location under their name or whatever. It was turned back on, so I clicked on it where it shows you the big screen, saw where it was, knew immediately that it was the issue that not started it, because obviously it was his lies that ended it, but started the demise of it, I guess.
Yeah.
That he had just told me a day or two before that was just a friend, meant nothing, was coming home, working on himself, all this crap. And so that for me was when it was finally like, well, you just nailed your own coffin, buddy. Yeah. Like, all you had, and that's what people, that I've had some people say and ask me, you guys aren't together, why are you mad about it? Because quit lying.
Yeah.
We both discussed being clear and transparent and honest and like all these things, because it was a lie that crumbled everything down. And the fact that I had directly asked the question about said person. Mm. I mean, to me, that's like him literally standing in front of my face with both of his middle fingers and his tongue out. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what it feels like to me.
Yeah.
Because it was literally that person.
So on my end, it was, and I'll be honest, for me, the lie that he told to Heather doesn't matter to me, because at that point it was already over. Finding out that he had, knowing that a kiss caused so much issue between us, he had told her that, well, yeah, Cody's all right with us having sex. I don't want this to turn into a trash and bash fest, but I do want to say this. If you had stopped thinking with your dick for 30 seconds, you would have had it all.
Everything.
And, you know, that's
the thing. And I hate to say that.
But right then, finding that out, I told you that trust was broken before, right? There was no trust there. Any foundation of anything that could have been trust right there was completely just obliterated. And, you know, I knew at that point, blocking him on everything, not even having anything to do with him in the future, that's where that sent me. So I know it's been rough for both of us since that happened, but what have you, if you could give a tip to anyone in our audience that is polyamorous and dealing with the loss of a relationship, what is some advice that's helped you through this time from then to now? Because that's honestly why we haven't recorded podcasts. That's mm-hmm. why we haven't done any of that stuff, is because I don't think either one of us have been really in the right headspace until tonight.
And you're being kind by saying either one of us. It's been me. I've been a wreck. I have not known who I have been since probably the middle of July. And admittedly, in the act of being transparent with our viewers or our listeners or whatever, if you will, have had to go on to depression meds to help with the loss of everything that's been happening, you know? And that's not something, my family knows, but not my extended family, not my friends that aren't immediate or whatever, but anybody that knows me knows that I would not be on depression medicine, you know? I've been blessed in a way that, I don't know how, but in a way that was crafted where I've got to keep a lot of happy things. I've got to keep the world in a shinier view than a lot of people get to have.
Yeah.
Even with even coming from my background that I do have, being afforded that has been great. But so I think that's why it stinks so bad right now is.
Yeah. And, you know, I said that neither one of us have been in the headset or the mindset to record an episode until now. And really, I think that doing this is going to help a lot. But really, you know, I don't know that either one of us are now. But I think this is the healthiest thing to do. I think that finding something that we both love and keeping that going is...
Well, and this is something that some people outside of the lifestyle or outside of a... I mean, we keep saying polyamorous because I know Cody right now swears that he's not ever that way. And after my recent trip, I don't want to be that way, but we keep just, I don't know. I think that's easier saying all the time than ethically non-monogamous now that my tongue isn't thick.
Yeah.
All the time. Or in the lifestyle. So if I reference polyamory or polyamorous, sometimes I'm referencing mine and Cody's lifestyle just in general, because on a weird random note that I've been traveling down for polyamory, you know, how companionships and different parts of relationships can be met that don't have to have sexual aspects to it and all this other things that can meet different things and still be part of like a polyamorous lifestyle. I think me and Cody are that way with more people than we think. And we just haven't ever put labels to it. And I think that's how we're going to keep, how we want to keep moving forward, is those happy, comfortable relationships of trust and connection that we have built and that we want to keep building with others. But I don't know. I'm not going to say never, because if I say never, it's going to happen because I'm stubborn and
like to
prove myself wrong. Yeah.
So what advice would you give to someone?
Oh, I'm so sorry. Thanks for that.
It's okay. What advice would you give to someone who is in suffering the loss of a polyamorous relationship?
This sucks on so many levels because not everyone has it. For me, it was having a support system. It was having a husband that still unknown beyond me ways of thinking, was able to put aside his own hurt and anger to still care for me as I cried and cried and cried over this man that wasn't even a real person, you know? Oh, leave me back. I'm losing it.
Having that support system, is that's what...
That, oh, for me, yes. I am not somebody that... Prior to this relationship, actually, I am not somebody that readily opens up very easily. Like I said, I have a big, giant heart, and I try to protect it. And sometimes I know those walls are probably... Scott are trying are probably thicker or, you know, more or tougher than they should be. But
yeah, she said earlier today, I don't have walls.
I don't feel like I do, but you know what I'm saying.
You just said you did.
No, I'm like an ogre. There are layers. Oh, I sat on my leg too long. Sorry. I have to sit like a toddler to talk in the microphone, right?
We'll get you a chair or something.
Cody yells at me.
Well, because nobody else can hear you.
I know. So I got to talk twice as loud. But has this not worked like perfectly? Oh, it's been working great, yeah. I know. So it's just the right level.
Okay, so having a support system
is... Yes, that was the big one. My best friend, her being here, kind of being able to help control the house a little bit. I did have a village. I had another best friends coming over to help, and they were cleaning the house. They even cleaned my toilets, and I hated it. I mean, I like bawled about it because you don't ask friends to do that. I mean, and they just did it. So just for me, I know I still am getting through just random bad. But what I learned, something I'm learning from this, from the group, is just... trying, I guess, to let an emotional wall of mine down is letting myself feel things as they come versus I've been taught to, you know, like stuff them, you know, like your feelings, everybody else's, you got to make sure everybody else is good. Everybody else has to always be okay. And then when everybody else is okay, if there's time, then you can cry or then you can rage or then you can whatever.
Man, that's not the way to be.
No, I know. And so... It's so hard to unlearn that because, you know, I was taught that from a very young age, having the mother that I did that needed the mental help that she did that she couldn't find or she shouldn't have tried finding in her daughter from a very young age, you know? So, advice outside of that, because I know I've had a few friends that have gone through this. And they don't have that support. I mean, they have their husband, maybe, but they're not out like we are.
Yeah.
So maybe that.
Find somebody to talk to.
It's hard, but that's what we're putting this platform out here for too. Because God, I hate randomly bursting into tears. And I'm not saying they're not always dramatic and like bursting, but like I pulled into the driveway.
She puts one hand on her forehead and like kind of faints. Towards the ground. Oh! She makes that sound too.
I just want you to know, because you said that, I literally just sent Scott a video of me doing that. I forgot what he said for, but I put it and swooned, and he was like, that was dramatic. Oh, because he said he had never seen Deadpool. And I was like, what? And so, but...
That's going to be how she does it from now on. I have the vapors.
Oh, my goodness. But... Man, is if you don't have somebody in your home or close to you to talk to because you're not out about it, that's what we're here for. And I'm offering my services. No, I'm offering you if you want a chance to, if you need somebody to talk to, there's Cody and I, and we have a multitude of friends that I'm sure you'll hear from. Like you hear giggling in the background, or I've smacked her butt a couple times, or she was totally chomping on potato chips. And I can't tell if it's because I have an ear infection and I'm totally deaf in one ear and it was that loud, or
that's probably all that it was, because I didn't hear anything.
Because I'm telling you, I've been afraid Cody's gonna throw something at me for talking or like fidgeting too often, and then I'm just and I was like, oh my god, what is she doing? So I forgot what got me on that train, but there we were. That was today. What were we talking about?
Your advice. So it's have a support system. And if you don't have a support system, if you don't have somebody to talk to,
you can have us.
You can message us.
I mean, for real.
Probably not this episode, but I'm going to start putting them on the next episode. I'm going to be linking our socials. They are the most current and up-to-date ways that you can get a hold of us.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'll have the Rigid Rooster social links, and I'll also have our individual Instagram and maybe Facebook links. I haven't decided on Facebook yet. But.
And again, we know nothing. We will just share our experience as it.
Well, and even if you don't need anybody to share experience, even if you just got to talk.
Or just if you need some screech. Yeah. If you need to word vomit, that is something. But, okay, so we'll get into this in later episodes, I know. But a keynote we'll talk about for later, guys, is being an active listener. And then figuring out what that means for your partner. Mm-hmm. So if I'm coming to – I am a fixer. I want to make sure my people are okay. I am people pleaser, valedictorian, you know, like that is me. And my people need to be taken care of. And I will fight for you to have that. Mm-hmm. But
even if you don't want us to say anything back, you just send us a message and say, hey,
I just need somewhere to scream. I just need this. I'm a fixer. If you tell me, Heather, I'm coming to you because I just need to dump. I just need to get it out. Then I know my brain isn't, my job is not to be there for you as a way to, you know, seek revenge on the person, or I'm just kidding, or whatever. But you're just word dumping. Sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes you just have to get it out of your brain. We can be that safe space if you don't have it. And we just want to make sure that everybody is aware of that.
That's the, you know, we want to do this podcast for that reason and to educate people, you know, because we live in the Bible Belt. I mean, right, if there was a buckle in that sumbitch, we'd be right in the middle of it. So, you know, we want to be able to encourage people who are in the lifestyle, or who, you know, are friends of people in the lifestyle, learn as much about it as you can. And so that's why we want to do this, is we want to educate people. We want to answer questions. We want to help ease confusion and things like that. So those links to our socials will be up in the next episode. I'll make sure that happens. Heather, do you have anything else that you could say that maybe might, because it's better now than it was a couple weeks ago, right?
Sure.
And it'll be better probably tomorrow than it was today.
Oh, yes. You know, like the little breakdown in the driveway, I think what started this or whatever. And it was something so silly that we don't even have to mention, but it was just a random time that I told Cody as he walked out the door, give me just 1 minute. I need to feel this. And it was just reliving not a nice memory, but trying to plant it with the one that I had just been given. Yeah. If that helps explain it to anybody or whatever.
Replacing the bad with the good, you know?
Yeah.
But those links, I'm sorry. I'm getting back on links. Do you have any advice for someone who, anything you want to say to people that are going through this that might need a little bit of help?
I'm sorry that it hurts so bad. I don't know how. No, I don't have, because I still struggle. Sometimes, more times than not, I don't call on my friends or my husband. But I will go to a quiet room, or if I am able, a shower. And I will get in and listen to music, whether it be sad music or angry music or whatever kind of music I'm feeling, with the lights off. And I have always felt, I know this, Cody made a joke about childhood trauma earlier. I've always felt if you cried in the dark in a shower, it's not actually tears because it's the water. So for me.
Yeah, it's not childhood trauma at all.
For me, that's some of how I can, I mean, if they're just yucky, dark, stupid moments, I don't know. And like I said, for in the beginning, I'm not mourning the person we know now. I'm mourning
who you had.
Who I had. Who I thought I had. Who yeah. I thought we had.
The thing I want everybody to remember is that no matter if you're going through this situation, if you're going through something similar, if you're going through whatever you're going through at all, you hear the cliche all the time of it gets better, right? It'll always get better. And you'll hear it so much that you're sick of hearing it. But the thing is, you have to remember it. You can be sick of hearing it, but you have to remember that it will. Nothing is bad forever. That's not possible. Mm-hmm. Remember that there is another side out of it. You know, there's the darkness that you're in right now, but there's also the light that's coming.
Find your silver linings.
Find your silver linings. Hold on to them. Talk to people. If you can't find anybody to talk to, talk to me.
Write it down. Get it out. Record a video of yourself. Do a video diary. Get it out of your system. Go somewhere. If you can go somewhere and scream. I've done that twice. I live on 10 acres and I'm glad for it because my poor Miss Neighbor over here, I love her, but I'm sure she's heard me scream.
She's been out hunting that banshee at night.
I go out there on our, we've got this big old dirt pile and it's one of those deep, dark, all the way to your toes, bottom of your soul hurt, guttural screams. And
she's talking with her hands again.
Mic dropped and my eyes were closed. you got to get it out sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't even have to be words. Like I said, I mean, sometimes that's all it was. And it was a release enough. Not that the sad was done or that I was out of having that bad moment or whatever, but I was able to feel it in its most extreme form and get it out of me so that I could process it and I guess kind of start trying to find out like what brought that on, brought that that visceral reaction, you know.
But
so whenever we getting say, it out
whenever we say that you can contact us through socials, you know, I mentioned, you know, you can talk to me. I heard a saying a few years ago and I think it bears repeating in times when you are dealing with this darkness that feels like it can crush you, is I would rather hear your story from you than hear your story on the news. And that is a big one that I think you should all remember. So when I say you can reach me on socials and talk if you need to, do it. I am available 100% of the time through, you know, Instagram Messenger. You can shoot me messages on TikTok, all that stuff. We will have all of those linked on the next episode. Now, this was a longer one. I'm really glad that we got into all that. Do you feel like that helped a little bit, just kind of getting it out there?
I do.
I do want to sum it up by saying, you know, it was really good while it was good. It was awesome while it was awesome. And then it was not. And
the character we had was it was a really good chapter. Right. It was a really good storyline.
Part of the thing to remember, though, with anything in life, not just necessarily the lifestyle, is you're going to be sold on the it's always fun, it's always good.
Or it's grass is always greener.
Right. That's not the case. Mm-mm. You know, in the lifestyle, there is pain, there's jealousy, there's anger, there's sadness, there's all of this stuff. And, you know, this episode was pretty deep, and it might have been kind of heavy for some people. And just so you know, that's because we want to be real. We want to show you that if you can't handle that as a couple and deal with it in healthy ways, maybe lifestyle is not for you.
And y'all, I have to get it out. Yeah. I have to get it out. I don't like the yuck in me. So we got to get it out, and that's how we're doing it. We're sharing it with you.
But, you know, and then it went bad, and when it went bad in a hurry, we are now figuring out how much stronger we can be than we even thought we were. And, you know, we want you guys to take those lessons from this. Is it's great when it's great. When it's bad, it fucking sucks. But you can work together and come out of it. So, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with our lovely audience?
Yes, but you'd get mad, so no, I guess we're done.
What am I going to get mad about?
I want to be like, you know, DM me if you want, like, the side note trash or something, you know, like something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we can't do that. So disregard what she just said.
See, I told you, you would okay. shake your head at me.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to share besides that?
I hate when you put me on the spot. You say, I hate when you do that to me, but I don't know. No.
Well, then I'll leave you with this, and it's something you're going to hear me say pretty much.
I might think of something cool after you, though, so
pretty much every episode you're going to hear me say this. It's incredibly important to figure out how to love yourself before you can figure out how you can love other people. And the easiest way to figure out how to love yourselves is just know that other people do. So love yourself because we love you. Did you think of anything cool in that time?
I've got some like Harry Potter things floating around.
I don't know if we need to quote Harry Potter.
I know, but like it could totally kind of go with what you're saying, but it could also like spiral into a whole different conversation, and we've probably talked too long already.
We're not going to make it the Harry Potter talk, but go ahead. What's your quote?
No. Oh, no, no, no. It's good. I'm good. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, guys, with we are going to get out of here. All right. Again, love yourselves because we love you. Okay, thanks. Bye.